Well, and welcome to the June 3rd, 2024 meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I'm going to hand it over to Lauren to talk through some processes and procedures before we get started. Lauren.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, you will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Lauren. I also will just note at the beginning of this meeting before we start, I'm having some work done at my place of residence, so it's going to be loud and a little weird over here. So I may be muting myself and turning my camera off as things get loud or confusing here. So I just want to say that at the start. And then I am going to call for the approval of the May 20th meeting minutes. Molly, is that a movement? Okay, I have a motion to approve.
A second.
In a second. Thank you. I'm going to assume unanimous consent and move forward to the public comment portion of our agenda. This is the portion of our agenda in which members of the public may comment on something that is not on the current Madison Landmarks agenda. I'm going to take a quick peek at my registrant list. We have no one registered for that, so I'm going to move on to agenda item or disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Does anyone have anything to disclose and recuse before we move on to our agenda? Seeing none, let's move on to agenda item number two. This is Legistar file 83622, 916 to 918 Williamson Street. It's an exterior alteration in the Third Lake Ridge Historic District. And I'm going to hand it over to you, Heather.
Okay. Up on the screen, we have a relatively recent Google Street View of the property in question. So for the proposed work is to replace the fabric awnings and downcast light fixtures with illuminated architectural canopies and also to install a neon wall sign. So on the left, we have the current condition, and on the right, we have what is proposed. You'll notice in the applicant materials that they were also asking for a historic design variance, but that's not one of the standards that's discussed in the staff report. This application came in after the public hearing deadline in order for us to publicly notice a variance request for this meeting, which is fine because it could go to the first July meeting, which is the next time we're doing project reviews. But in reviewing the application materials, I had talked it through with the applicant about how what they were proposing isn't what we typically see in the district, and they would need to make a case for similar vintage resources in the district and similar vintage resources in the city for making a case related to a historic design variance. And the application did a very good job of pulling together that research and citing both for the architectural canopies and the signage. And so in looking at the associated standards related to signage and alterations, they had the information for meeting those standards of approval. So rather than referring it to the July meetings to do postcards for the variance request, I just did an analysis using the application materials and the otherwise applicable standards. Because while this is not typical for the district, this particular historic resource dates to the 1940s, which is outside of the period significance of the district. And so it is also not what we typically see as part of these applications. So since the application materials met the standards as it stood, it didn't look like it needed a variance given the complete research that was provided in the application materials. So what we have are the applicable standards then are 41.18 sub 3, the standards related to signage. And so there's more detailed discussion in the staff report about the standards for looking at signs, where they are typical on a building, and when there are areas that aren't necessarily designated for signage. The historic commercial buildings tend to have a wall area that is designed for signage, and this one does not. And then the standards for alterations. So with that, again, you have a more detailed analysis in the staff report, but staff believes that the standards for granting a certificate of appropriateness are met and recommends that the Landmarks Commission approve the project as proposed.
Thank you, Heather. Does anyone have any questions for Heather before we move on to the applicant we have? Seeing none, and I apologize, I don't have my two screens in front of me, so it's harder for me to track people. Oh, seeing none, I am going to move on to our registrant. We have one registrant for this item, and Emily Hutchinson, available in support, a registrant in support, available to answer questions. Drew, I see your hand is up. Are you the registrant under a different name?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm having tech issues. I was not able to update my name.
No problem. Please go ahead.
Oh, great, thank you. Yes, I just wanted to thank everyone for considering our application. We're really excited for it, and we do think that having finishes appropriate to the age of the building itself rather than the age of the buildings around it is fitting and will be like really beautiful and special for our neighborhood.
Thank you, Emily. Does anyone have any questions for her before we move on to discussion and a vote? Seeing none, I guess I will look for a motion or any discussion. Jacob, is that a motion or a discussion?
I was just gonna make a comment first that I wanted to say yes. I appreciate when people do their homework and provide a lot of information and backup. It is, I think, a good argument to say that the change to the awning should be more appropriate to the age of the building rather than necessarily the age of the neighborhood. It's a more consistent look. I don't have any questions on the proposal. It's a very well put together proposal, so I think all my questions are answered in that material. Unless anybody else has questions, I guess I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the application as noted with the there's really no conditions with the recommendation. So just approve the application.
I'll second.
Chair, you are muted.
Rich. Oh. Yeah. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate that quick. I'm going to assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise by hands. Seeing none, thank you so much. And we'll move on to agenda item number 2. And I apologize. Slowly move in between stuff. Okay, this is agenda item number 3, Legistar File 83623, 1320 to 1322 Spate Street, an exterior alteration in the 3rd Lake Ridge Historic District. Heather.
Okay, again, we have a relatively recent Google Street View of the property in question. So the proposed work is to replace an existing asphalt shingle roof with an architectural shingle. The reason why this is here at the Landmarks Commission is staff did not believe we could approve this administratively because the proposed shingle, our analysis was that it didn't meet the standards. But as a matter of due process, it is available to the applicant to take this matter to the Landmarks Commission for your review, because really anything that's done administratively by staff is done so in your name, and so you are the final deciders. So with that, what is being proposed is the GIF Timberline Ultra High Definition Shingle in the Barkwood color. And there's more details in the staff report. One of the things, well, the key feature for this particular shingle is that it has double shadow lines to give it a deeper definition. And of the GIF materials, there's a couple of different shingles that in the GIF product line that staff knows that we can approve. And one of them is the Timberline Natural Shadow. So that's the one that's in the bottom right there. And so it has very limited shadow lines to give a less shadowed appearance. And the reason why that is important is for historic resources in Third Lake Ridge, they either originally had wood shingle or they had asphalt shingles. Wood shingles are very thin, and wood shakes are the shaggier appearance. So they were back when we were hand hewing roof shingles. So they were bigger and chonkier and had a, they weren't a continuous size. Whereas once we got into milling things like wood shingles, we had these thinner wood roof shingles that were all of a similar size and dimension. So we have been consistent in approving roof shingles that replicate the look of either early asphalt shingles or early wood shingles without the exaggerated shadow lines since before the current incarnation of our historic district ordinance. With the historic district ordinance, other than just relying upon precedent, we also have specific standards that talk through why the roof shingles need to be aligned with what is sort of typical building material character. So again, there's more detailed discussion in the staff report, but the key things they're pulling from here are the general standards related to materials and features. So the alteration needs to be in keeping with the original design and character of a building. And we don't want to introduce conjectural features. So like doing a more ornate style of roof or a chunky looking shake roof. If for the more detailed standards for the roof materials, replaced in kind if it is too deteriorated to repair, and for shifting from an asphalt shingle to an architectural shingle, it is a different material, but it gives the appearance of being an in-kind replacement. But that the replacement material shall replicate the appearance of historic roofing materials found on the structure or be of compatible with roofing found in historic resources in the district. So we've been having discussions with the applicant and with their contractor. You have the details in the application materials that the applicant likes the appearance of the heavily shadowed shingles and also wants a more extended warranty. And of the GIF line, this is the type of shingle that has the longest warranty. So staff has provided a list of approvable shingles. We have a list that we give to our roofing contractors and give to folks who are doing roofing that has ones that we say we know that we can easily approve. They've already been through our review process and we have a precedent of approving them. We do periodically update that list. We tell people our stipulations about that it needs to replicate the appearance of wood shingle or historic asphalt and not chonky wood shake. And so we're always willing to look at new products because these materials are constantly changing. So there's always new product lines. We also check in with the State Historic Preservation Office because they are doing a similar thing of evaluating materials and adjusting their list of shingles that they know they can approve. So we actually did a pretty recent update on this. So the list that we have right now is pretty solid. And for the reasons why this isn't a type of shingle that we can approve, it's those not just deep shadow lines, but even with the double shadow lines to really give that extra appearance of it being a deeper shingle. So since the applicant and the contractor said that they were interested in products that had a longer warranty, I gathered together the various warranties for the types of shingles that we have in our list. So all of that information would be available. And so that isn't one of our standards for the length of the warranty. But since that was part of what the, oh goodness.
Okay, Heather.
Yep. Sorry. Getting to the last here. There are plenty of shingles available that could meet our design standards and also meet the applicant's interest in having a longer warranty shingle. So staff is recommending that the Landmarks Commission move to place this project on file without prejudice so that the applicant can resubmit with a type of shingle that meets the design standards for the historic district.
Thank you, Heather. Does anyone have any questions for Heather before we go to the applicant? Seeing none, we do have one person registered in support for the project, Tammy Bieberstein. Registered in support, wishing to speak. Tammy, I do see that you are here.
Hi. Oh. Thank you for having me. And I can't get my camera. I don't know how to, I'm not tech savvy enough, but.
That is okay. We actually don't want you to turn your camera on, so.
Oh, okay.
So go ahead.
So my turn? Okay. Well, thank you for having me. I love my community and I love Madison and do lots of good deeds around. But anyway, I want to replace my roof with a roof that is high impact resistant and will last a lot longer and not land in the end up in the landfill sooner than later. My roof is very tall and dangerous. The buildings are close together, it's steep, and it's a job that I want to see have to be done as seldom as possible. So I do want a roof that's going to last a long time. It's currently it's replacing a 40-year roof. And I spoke with a bunch of my neighbors who and showed them the shingles, and they didn't think that they looked that much different than shingles already in the neighborhood. And also, to begin with, I didn't know that I would run into this situation. I hired the contractor because they do top-notch work, and we didn't think anything of this happening. And so, I had a date of June 12th set for having the roof done. Now I don't have a date at all. And it's been very trying for me, distressing. And I just want, and then I shared the list with my roofer about the ones you approve. And I see you had one 40-year roof up there, a CertainTeed Landmark, but my roofer could only give me a 7-year guarantee on that work. Otherwise I would have the 40 to 50-year warranty on the work. So I hope you'll reconsider. There are other anomalies in the neighborhood. Like we have a steel roof on the corner of Baldwin and Spate. I saw another one on Rutledge Street. And then I also heard about a guy who got a 25-year roof at 1426 Rutledge Street, and a 25-year roof that fell apart in 5 years is what I heard. I don't want the same thing to happen to me. I've been burned with contractor work in the past, Yeah, I love my building too. I painted it myself. In 2019, I rented a boom. And prior to that, I got myself certified for lead abatement so that I could do the work properly. And I have a job that's lasting a lot longer as a result. I had it painted, 20 years ago or so by professionals that it was peeling a year later. Now I did it, 5 years ago, and I don't have any peeling on what I did on the fascia and soffits of the high level. So I just want a high quality job that's going to last a long time. I like the looks of that shingle. And I'm not aware of other 40-year shingles that he has like that. His other shingles are 25 years. And I want to be more sustainable than that. And with climate change, I want something that's high impact resistant and will withstand large hail and winds like we're getting these days. I hear there's grapefruit size hail in Texas, and So, do people want to ask me questions?
You know what? Thank you, Tammy. And I will check to see if they want to ask you questions. I guess, does anyone have any questions for Tammy? Not seeing any, Tammy, but we'll come back to you if we have any.
Okay.
I'm going to hand it back to the group. Does anyone have any discussion points or a motion?
I guess I do have a question. Is why is the contractor saying they can only give you a 7-year warranty when the manufacturer warranties it for 40 years?
Tammy, if you would like to unmute, and maybe you don't know because your contractor isn't here, but
my contractor's not here. I wish I could have had the opportunity to have him here. So I'm not sure why that is, but
okay.
It does sound like there's some confusion as to warranty length versus how long the roof is going to last. I guess I was a little confused by some of your statements for that. Because the roof may last longer than the warranty.
The warranty is provided by the manufacturer. And so any roofer can get the roof replaced under warranty prorated based on how long it's been installed.
Right.
I'll have to ask him about that tomorrow.
In some cases, roofers go out of business or close up, and that warranty can be, as Richard's referring to, picked up by somebody else. My feeling is that this is a well thought out process already that I wouldn't want to interrupt or make an exception for when there is material available that seems to meet standard.
It's possible your roofer just doesn't want to use the shingles from other manufacturers or something too. I mean, you might want to open up your search for contractors.
And the fact that the contractor was unaware of it being in a historic district would seem to imply that he's not done a roof in this neighborhood recently, at least. I will go ahead and make a motion to refer without prejudice, as Heather pointed out, this item so that it can come back with a approval shingle.
Second.
from I'll the second. List.
I'll second.
Thank you, Rich. Sorry, Jacob, did you have something to add before?
No, just to say that from the list supplied by Heather as part of the review.
Okay, excellent. Sorry, I thought I lost my internet for a second. Thank you, and I have a second. So I'm going to assume unanimous consent. Tammy, I recommend setting up maybe a meeting with the contractor and Heather, although I'm sure you've done that already, to talk through potential options. Do you have a question about the process before we move on? Tammy, I believe you are unmuted.
Okay. I already signed a contract with my roofer. What do I do? I've never had to replace a roof before. Oh, and you know what?
Tammy, we can answer questions about the process for landmarks. I apologize, but I do not believe we can answer questions about the direct contract you have with your contractor.
Okay, well, you know, maybe I'll just get my roof repaired and sprayed by RoofMax instead.
I believe anything you do to the exterior of your house, you should be coordinating with Landmarks. Please contact Heather, and she should be able to help you out through that process. Right, Heather?
I guess I don't need a permit for having the roof sealed.
Heather, I don't know where that falls under our ordinance, but...
I don't know. I'd have to see the scope of work, so we'll see. Yeah.
Gary Tipler recommended he saw the shingles and thought, well, yeah, they're asphalt shingles. And he cares a lot about the historicalness of our neighborhood too. He recommended I take it up for review.
Okay, Heather, I don't know if you had any questions or if you had anything about spraying. I don't know.
No, I would have to see the scope from a contractor, but we can certainly, I will absolutely work with the applicant to figure this out.
Okay, excellent. Tammy, yep. Moving forward, please work with Heather to coordinate that. Thank you so much. With that, I think we're moving on to our final agenda item, which is agenda item number 4, Legistar File 81161, buildings proposed for demolition. I think I'm handing it over to Heather Wright.
Yes. sorry. I haven't had a coughing fit in days. Okay. It's only one property, which is good because it will keep me from coughing and hacking through this. Okay, so this property, this is just a technical demolition because it's about a demolition off of the front. So they're not taking the whole building down. But what we have here is a single family home that was constructed in 1906. There's no Madison preservation file. This is located within the boundary of a human burial site, the Icaria human burial site. And so there's the identifying information there. As many of our lakefront properties are. So any ground disturbing work will need to secure a request to disturb from the Office of the State Archaeologist. So the recommendation is no known historic value for the structure, but the site is significant for the human burial site associated with the Ho-Chunk people. And that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Heather. Looking for a motion. Oh, thank you, Jacob. That's a motion to find the building itself not significant, but the archaeological site.
Correct.
Excellent. Okay, do we have a second?
Okay.
Seeing Molly. Thank you so much, Molly. Okay, we'll pass that information on to the Planning Commission and the applicants. Heather, I have just a process question, which I believe we've answered before, but since this meeting is really short today, it is the landowner's responsibility to get that request to disturb?
Yes.
Okay. And then they show it when they get their demo permit, or they use it during their application, right?
Yes. Usually as part of one of the conditions of approval from Plan Commission, they add that in and then they need to show up with an approved request to disturb in order to get their raise permit.
Okay, excellent. That's what I thought, but I wanted to check. I apologize. Okay, I'm looking for a motion for dismissal. Seeing one from Molly and Rich. Thank you. First and second. And thank you all. Have a lovely June couple of weeks. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye, Thanks. Everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.